I'm Bill Barole. Over the last few decades, I've done every kind of writing there is to do, from journalism to humor, books, movies, and television.
I'm Matt Ricardo. For the last 30 years, I've toured the world as a variety performer.
We've come together across the Atlantic to talk about creativity, what it is, where it comes from, why it matters.
Thomas Edison said, "To invent, you need a good imagination and a pile of junk."
This is Imagination and Junk, a conversation about the hard work of creativity.
Episode 26, A Beautiful Lie. Dear Bill, it's lovely to be back exchanging these letters with you across the Atlantic. I hope everything's going well over there in the US of America. I'm sure it is. Also, I don't watch the news. Anyway, let me pose a question. How do you feel when someone says you're talented? What does it mean when people say of someone who excels in their chosen discipline that they're a natural? For me, it pops the cap off a can of competing strong opinions and feelings, but we'll get to that in a minute, because this week we're going to talk about the idea of talent. Talent is the concept of natural ability, the gift, some would even say God-given, of being good at something without ever working to be. It's the engine that drives a prodigy, the special sauce that allows someone to be better than almost everyone else without doing a fraction of the work that they have to do just to keep up. It's the thing that makes some people seem special. And in my polite and respectful opinion, it's a lie. And a dangerous one. Now, of course, some people are born with traits that might give them a better chance of success in various very specific areas. Height in basketball, that kind of thing. But aside from genetic physical makeup, I argue hard against what seems to be a plainly absurd idea that some people just come out of the womb with some kind of amorphous gift that allows them to excel in a creative pursuit. I think that is 52 varieties of rubbish. Now, we all agree that evidence supports the idea that practice makes you better at something. It's not controversial to think that to get good at something, you have to work at it. It's proven by endless evidence and common sense. There is no proof, however, at all, that some people just come out of the womb with a greater natural ability for specific things. So I say it's a myth. But why is it a dangerous one? Well, it's gatekeeping. The lie of talent says that you either have it or you don't. Which means people that are trying to learn something and finding it hard, which learning is hard, these people will think that they don't have it and give up. While people who, by hard work, luck or privilege, and usually it's all three of those and more, who do get good at something, think they're gifted. Better. I might sound like a bit of an arsehat here, and it won't be the first time, but I'll be completely honest. When someone tells me I'm talented, I take the compliment that I know it's meant to be, but inside, I secretly feel a little bit insulted. I worked really hard over decades to be able to do what I do, and the word talent, to me, somehow negates all of that work, erases the journey that got me here. And to an artist, the journey is everything. Now, of course, there are people who come out of the womb with a better chance of getting good at something. Some people are, in fact, born with a gift. That gift is privilege. It's not so much what you're born as, more what you're born into. If you don't have to worry about money, if you have all the time in the world to practice and a suitable space to do it in, and supportive people around you, and maybe teachers, and of course a safety net, well, there's much more chance you'll excel if you have the inclination. Hard to be a world-class concert pianist if you grew up on a council estate with a single parent who worked two jobs to make ends meet. And while we're here, why is it always something like concert pianists that we talk about like this? If talent was a real thing, and people were born with an advantage in music or sculpture, then are people also born with a beautiful gift for plumbing, accountancy, fashion retail management? But I'm writing this fabulously clueless about your stance on talent, which is always a fun way to start an episode of Imagination and Junk. I wonder if you agree or violently do not. Perhaps that hinges on whether we have the same definition of talent. I'm writing this in my dressing room while I'm on tour with a burlesque show. And perhaps in the tour bus after the show tonight, I'll ask the rest of the cast what they feel about the idea of talent. It's what I always say. If in doubt, ask showgirls. Talk to you soon. Matt.
Dear Matt, so here we go again. Season 4 of Imagination and Junk. I hope you've been well since we last talked. Over here in America, let's see, what can I catch you up on? I can't think of anything much. I'm going to assume everything's about the same as it was when I lowered myself into my doomsday bunker on January 20th of last year, shutting out the anguished cries of my neighbors and every source of news or information. I think Jennifer may be out there as well, although the scrabbling at the blast door has tailed off almost entirely, and I think at this point what I'm hearing is probably just raccoons. So I'm guessing things up there are good? Let's go with that. Everything is fine. One of my rules in life is that when someone asks you a direct question, it's discourteous to not give them a direct answer. So let's start with your question to me. How do I feel when someone says I'm talented? Well, I guess I feel good. You know, like when you go to the food locker in your doomsday bunker and punch in the code and extract one of your dwindling supply of MREs and open it to find that it's still relatively fresh and chewy. You know that feeling? It's like, ah. Okay, I'm going to abandon this bit now because it's making me sad. I think, as you do, that when people say this, they mean it and one should accept it as a compliment. Same thing I'd say when people describe you as a natural. But you've begun to peel this onion in an intriguing way, so let me continue in that spirit. I'm going to suggest that you've thought more deeply about this than most folks have reason to, because that's the business we're in around here. And the truth is more complicated than it may seem. Let's try James Baldwin on for size, shall we? Baldwin said, "Talent is insignificant. I know a lot of talented ruins. Beyond talent lie all the usual words: discipline, love, luck, but most of all, endurance." I'm guessing you'd agree with Baldwin on this. But, and here's something I don't find myself saying very often, I think you've improved on James Baldwin in one key respect. In addition to discipline, love, luck, etc., you've added privilege. Now, I'll confess that I've never given much thought to this angle, but it strikes me as a pretty acute insight. Take my professional history. I had the privilege of more or less learning how to write when I was employed as a young writer at Newsweek in the 80s. If not learning, then buffing up what I already knew and raising it to a professional standard. This is about as white-collar a way to acquire a skill set as it's possible to imagine. I was set up for success. How many people are lucky enough to get good that way? Not that many, I'd bet. But wait a second. Let's talk about how you got good. And trust me, I am going somewhere with this. You rattled off a laundry list of things that add up to privilege in the act of getting good at something. Financial independence, time, a suitable place, supportive people, a safety net. Knowing what I do about how you came up, it seems to me that you didn't have most of those things, or at least you couldn't count on them. Busking pitches were hard to come by. Your folks didn't get what you were doing. You had no financial net under you. But you persevered, and you got good. Here's what I'm getting at. As a relatively unprivileged student of your craft, you were, in several ways, swimming upstream. You had to work harder than another performer would have had to if he had a greater degree of privilege. I don't think people mean to devalue the role of perseverance, of grit, of sheer hard work, when they imply that success is a result of an inborn natural gift. But yes, I agree with you. That devaluation is there. Talent, or what people call talent, is a thing that makes one, in the words of our episode on Fred Astaire, a beautiful alien. But work is what makes you a human. Is this what accounts for that little tickle of insult that flickers in your brain when somebody calls you talented, meaning nothing but a compliment by it? Is it the old East London class warrior in you getting his back up? And let me throw one more thing into the soup. You have your pet theory and it centers privilege, Here's mine. When we talk about talent, what we're really talking about is affinity. An affinity for a skill is what allows you to keep going when the going gets tough. All of us, if we're lucky, spot at an early age somebody doing something that resonates with something inside of us. You saw a company of variety performers on the beach at Whidbey and found your tribe. I read voraciously and sensed early on that if I could wrangle words into sentences and sentences into thoughts, that would be my way of making sense of the world. Affinity for a skill. Feel. Touch. An electric sizzle in the fingertips. Is that what we really mean when we talk about talent? I'll talk to you next time. Bill.
Dear Bill, now look, be careful the raccoons don't get into the vents. You need that filtered air in the bunker. Also, they like to chew on cables, and it sounds like you might not have caught up on the White Lotus finale, which is a reference that will date horribly. Also, I like your use of MRE. It reminds me of one of my favourite books, Pattern Recognition by William Gibson, in which the protagonist, Case Pollard, wears the same outfit every day, which is referred to by her friends as her CPUs, her Case Pollard units. Anyway, I do, if I'm honest, feel slightly uneasy about you saying that I might have a better take on privilege than James Baldwin. Look, I'll readily admit to having a more nuanced take on some things than Mr. Baldwin did. Gallagher, Kung Fu, juggling. Yes, fine, but, you know, let's compromise and say that at least my current take on it is better than his current take. That seems more realistic, what with him being dead and everything. You're kind of right when you say that when I started as a street performer, I didn't have a lot of encouragement or understanding from my parents. And yes, it was an odd, almost sketchy thing to be drawn to as a job. But, like so much privilege, the closer you look, the more you see. I lived in the capital city, where the only really viable permanent busking pitch in the country was. I had been claiming unemployment benefit, the dole, for 6 months, which had given me the time and space to learn many of my skills and go to workshops where I met performers and where I was first told that I should think about going to Covent Garden to do shows. So, there's that. And then, when I got there, I was gifted the most important element, all the other buskers. People from all kinds of places and backgrounds who all had found their way to that piazza, and who, once I'd earned my acceptance in their family, were as supportive, helpful, collaborative, and encouraging as I could have wished for. It feels like I had this idea in me that maybe I could do this and the feeling that I wanted to, and once I got there, I was rewarded by a bunch of people who were doing it and were showing and telling me how I could too. So, as I said earlier, I don't think talent is a thing. I think it's a word for other things. And aside from privilege and commitment, I think the key two elements that the concept of talent obscures are desire and inclination. Desire made me dream of being a performer, and it indulged that dream in me and let it grow, but inclination was the knowledge that it would require work and that I was up for that challenge. Desire, in this context, is the realization that it's not greedy to want something for yourself if the way of getting that thing is by, in some way, creating it through your skill, craft, and work. It's okay to want something that you don't have and can't buy. Oh, and you mentioned my working-class East London roots. How dare you? I'm from North London. All right, North East London, but still. Proud to say, I was born in London's stabbiest borough, and 55 years later it still holds that crown. Wait, is proud the right word? Anyway, Edmonton Green represent! As I previously mentioned, I'm currently sharing a tour bus with a gang of showgirls. Is that the collective noun for showgirls, a gang? Maybe a shimmy of showgirls? A sequin of showgirls? Anyway, I asked them for their thoughts on the idea of talent. One of them told a story of a child performer they knew who everyone agreed had natural talent and who gained a degree of success early in their life. "They're going to be a star," everyone said. But when they stopped being a child, they just vanished career-wise because they didn't care. They hadn't decided to do it. So even if talent is a real thing, and I still don't think it is, then it's nothing without passion and inclination. One of the other showgirls, Belle, and I should say Belle listens to the podcast and is very excited at the idea of being mentioned in it. Hello, Belle. Say hi to Belle, Bill. Belle doesn't believe in the idea of talent. She feels it's a bit of a cover for things like determination, learned skill, charisma. Her thinking is that resilience and originality are much more important. And both of them require you to know yourself, which is in itself a key to being good at something. Belle has just heard this and is somewhere in the world giggling to herself. The more I've been thinking about this, the more I've perhaps softened my opinion about the myth, as I see it, of talent. Previously, my stance had kind of been, it's not a real thing, stop being dumb, just do stuff. Which, I'll agree, is as brusque as it is pragmatic. But maybe people need myths, or if not need, then at least benefit from them. Talent is, at best, a placebo, and at worst, a curse. The myth of talent gives someone confidence, and confidence is a very hard thing to instill in someone. It's delicate, fragile. You can't just tell someone to be more confident. But if people around you are saying that you're talented, that you have something, and you also want to have that something, then it's going to help you. It's going to help give you the chutzpah to go for it. It confirms to you that the passion you have for something isn't silly, that you should be having those dreams. It's just a bit of a problem that most people don't get told that, and those that do only get told it after already showing an affinity for something which, as we've said, is dependent on things like being brought up in a household of ballet teachers rather than a bombed-out neighbourhood in Gaza. So I guess I'm positing that the issue here isn't whether talent exists or not, but the accepted inequality of who it's prescribed to. Bearing in mind that privilege, genes, location, and a dozen other things are such huge factors, I figure that either nobody has talent, or everyone does. And me? If I was more talented, I'd have a better sign-off. But here we are. Speak to you soon. Matt.
Dear Matt, you know I'm a fan, right? I mean, that's how this podcast scam started. I saw your act and I thought, well, he'd be an interesting guy to make something with. But let's be clear. I'm not so much of a Matt Ricardo superfan that I try to claim you have a clearer take on anything than James Baldwin did. I think what I said is, and I could go back and listen, but that would constitute checking my work and nobody messes with that foolishness in 2026. I think what I said is that you may have slightly improved on something Baldwin once said about a particular thing. I mean, look, I'm a fan, but I'm not a lunatic. Baldwin was a beautiful genius. And yet, could he juggle? No, to my knowledge, he could not. So, you know, that has to be taken into account. Also, your English place names are so freaking bucolic that I have trouble accepting a place called Edmonton Green could be the stabbiest part of any city, anywhere. But then, I'm a person who grew up in a neighborhood called Society Hill, so, you know, glass houses, I guess. I have completely lost my way here. Let me see if I can wrestle this thing back onto the rails. And, as I do, a production note. For the rest of this segment, I will be laying in a brief chime sound effect to indicate that I am placing air quotes around the word talent. It will sound like this. Thank you. We seem to be circling a theory that talent is a catch-all into which we sweep up a number of things that contribute to success. Among them, passion, inclination, resilience, originality, charisma, self-knowledge. I'd chuck opportunity into the mix as well. It's hard to know if you can be good at something if you don't have the opportunity to try. Fate, time, circumstance. A number of things have to swirl around together to put you into a position to see whether a given skill is something you can or should attain. But wait a second. And before we go any further, hi, Bill. If all these things are the components of what we call talent, if talent is the bucket into which we sweep them. Is that a thing we do for ourselves or that others do for us? Does that distinction matter? It sounds like you're saying that talent is something that gets ascribed to us by others, that it's an external validator. Well, if that's true, we have to consider something else: self-assurance. Because being wholly dependent on the validation of others, even if that validation is an illusion or a myth, well, that's a tough road. And as we've discussed elsewhere, an unfruitful one. Self-assurance is what allows us to keep going even when no one is telling us we have talent, or whatever it is they believe talent is. How do we gain self-assurance? I'd argue that it comes with work and with practice. And fortunately, these are available to anybody who wants to attain a skill. So what are we saying here? Are we saying, because I will admit we're deep in the weeds now, are we saying that talent is, well, everything that can move a creative person forward? This is a headbanger of an idea. After all, to paraphrase you, if everything is talent, then nothing is. But maybe that's okay. Maybe that's how we arrive at the conclusion that talent is a myth, which is where you, at least, started this week, and where I seem to be coming around to. You don't always dent the preconceptions I bring to these conversations of ours, but this week, you have. That said, let me qualify it. There are myths, and then there are myths. Maybe talent is the best kind of myth, a kind of mass delusion that we all agree to subscribe to because it lifts us all up. Whatever it is we believe it to be, whatever item or items are being ticked off that checklist of things that lie just under the surface when we use the term, why not buy into the notion that everyone has it? Because surely we all have enough of those things. Surely everybody has just one of those things bubbling around in their soul. And one is all it takes. Of work, practice, repetition, opportunity, any one of those is enough. I have to confess, I like this theory very much. It feels hopeful. And I'll take my hope where I can get it these days. By the way, the collective noun for a group of showgirls is a headpiece. That noun again, a headpiece of showgirls. You're welcome. And I'll talk to you next time. Bill.
Dear Bill, your offhand comment about James Baldwin's inability to juggle illustrates your lack of knowledge of both mid-century vaudeville history and literary civil rights activism. Anyone who knows anything about either would be able to tell you about, as he billed himself back then, Jumpin' Jimmy Baldwin's Juggling Jamboree, with its famous slogan, "He'll make you gasp, he'll make you cheer, he'll make you evolve your preconceived ideas about race, class and sexuality." Now, I can see how my old neighbourhood of Edmonton Green might seem quaint sounding from a distance, but the Green has not been green for a long time. Back before I was born, it was indeed the village green that you're probably imagining, but by the time I was around, it was a huge grey concrete shopping centre surrounded by tower blocks. I loved going there as a kid, though, because in the market that sat in the middle, there were people from all over the globe selling exciting things. Indian spices, African clothes, all the little things that people who had come from elsewhere would miss. So many amazing, colourful sights and smells and sounds that forever defined how I see the world. So, back to the plot. You're right about self-reliance. We've talked here before about the beautiful artistic power in deciding to do or make something just because you want to and for no other reason. We've also talked about the mindset that sometimes allows someone to do or make something in spite of the rest of the world not clamouring for it or suggesting it or showing any interest in it at all. That is often how fresh things get born. The kind of things that spur people to utter the classic phrase, "I never knew I wanted that." But, goddamn, that's a hard way to do things. I mean, sure, it feels somehow more pure and independent to not need outside validation or encouragement to keep being creative, and maybe it is and maybe it isn't, but what it definitely is exhausting. To keep that self-belief in the front of your head so it's right there when you need it, nobody can do that all the time. Hardly anybody can do it most of the time, and those that can, well, a good percentage of those people are narcissistic psychopaths. I work in show business. I know these people.
For me, sure, self-belief, self-assurance, they got me to a park every day to practice my juggling. They helped me ignore my parents saying I was stupid and lazy. They got me to Covent Garden for my first tryout show. But I'm pretty sure they wouldn't have been enough on their own to get me to where I am now. I'm here because people in the outside world agreed with the voice that I was working hard to keep positive inside my head. We all need to be in communities in which everyone lifts up everyone. Otherwise, at best, we become those narcissistic psychopaths. Those people are often lonely. As for talent, ting! I guess where I'm coming down is here. I think that talent does as much harm as it does good. But that also means that it does, at its best, as much good as it does harm. So perhaps it is a useful motivational placebo for some, while feeling like a club that you're not admitted to for others. Perhaps it kind of balances out? Mostly? Ish? But I still get annoyed by the fact that it's only used for particular things. I'm good at some things, talented, some might say, but in a lot of other areas I'm horrifically inept. Maths? No thank you. Being able to get a good restful night's sleep? Not my thing, baby. Talking to strangers? I would literally do anything to avoid it, and regularly do. So if either everyone has talent or nobody does, let's say everyone does. And let's start using it accordingly. My wife is really talented at conversations with new people. My accountant is talented at sorting out my finances. My espresso machine is so talented at making delicious coffee. I like that you come to a hopeful conclusion. That's something that I don't feel very talented in. Hope. But then again, if talent is a myth, maybe I can learn it. I'll talk to you soon. Matt.
Dear Matt, sometimes in the course of writing these episodes, I find myself telling the front of my brain, the part that's thinking about diction and pace and structure and how much time I have to keep working before the dogs start leaning on me for dinner, sometimes I find myself telling that part of my brain to pipe down and listen. When I do that, sometimes I can discern the story behind the story. I can hear what we're not saying, but which is nevertheless there. And it's frequently this backstage voice that's driving the conversation. As I listen back to what we've had to say in this episode about talent, I can hear us reaching for something. Compassion. Kindness, maybe. A sort of expansiveness. At first glance, this seems odd. What does compassion have to do with talent? Well, maybe it's this. As I write this, my government is engaged in a chaotic, full-tilt effort to knock the struts out from under democracy and decency at home and around the world. There's a meanness, a smallness in the air. It's inescapable. It seeps into and under and behind everything, like a toxic gas. So although it may seem tangential to what we're talking about in this episode, which is a pretty narrowly circumscribed thing, I don't think it is. I don't think any of us, certainly those of us here in the States, have the luxury at the moment of thinking that what's happening here doesn't affect everything, because if it doesn't today, it surely will tomorrow. And I don't think it's an accident that we've come around, both of us in this episode, to the notion that what we call talent is either something no one has access to or something everyone does, and that we prefer the latter. I was really struck by something you said. We all need to be in communities in which everyone lifts up everyone. I didn't start this episode thinking about this, but it's where I've ended up, and it seems you have too. The idea of talent can be used to exclude. It's often used that way. But if we believe, and I think we do, that talent is a catch-all term for a whole bucket full of attributes that are available to each of us, why not choose to think of that as an empowering thing? Creativity is a big tent, or it ought to be, even now, especially now. It can be one of the things that saves us. All we have to do is invite everybody in. I'll talk to you next time. Bill. Imagination and Junk is written by Bill Barole in the US and Matt Ricardo in the UK. with audio production by Bill Barole. For more information, show notes, and bonus content, it's imaginationandjunk.com.